weekly update about what's going on in and around KBOO. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and I'm very excited to be joined this evening by David Barsamian, who is author, activist, and host and producer of Alternative Radio, and is going to be in Portland this Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. This will be a fundraiser for KBOO. Welcome, David, to News from the Boo. Thanks for taking a few minutes to let us know a little bit more about you and what's going to happen on Sunday.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's a terrific opportunity for listeners and for me to support one of the best community radio stations in the country, KBOO.
Wow. So you are the host of Alternative Radio. Would you describe what you're trying to accomplish with the show and also why you created this platform almost 40 years ago?
Well, I created Alternative Radio because I was so unhappy with the mainstream media voices that I found to be absolutely critical and vital to public discourse were nowhere to be found on the radio dial, particularly at national public radio stations. So I'm thinking about people like Noam Chomsky and Helen Caldicott and Michael Parenti and David Brower and David Suzuki and Arundhati Roy and Vandana Shiva. So I started really on a whim. I'm kind of self-taught. I connected with a community radio station here in Boulder, KBOO's sister station, I should say,
right.
KGNU. Became a volunteer there, learned the ins and outs of doing radio after many embarrassing miscues, I must say. And so I decided to launch AR in 1986 with very little encouragement. I remember my brother telling me that, no one is going to, support this. Why should they? They hear something on the radio and then, they won't buy at that time a cassette or a transcript. But I started, and it's now in its 32nd year, mm-hmm. and it's carried on about 260 stations across the U.S., Canada, Australia, and other countries. And I'm proud to say that KBOO was one of the very first stations to pick up alternative radio, and listeners can hear it every Tuesday morning from
right.
9 to 10, and it presents perspectives and points of view and information that's largely ignored or omitted in the mainstream media.
Right. And so talk a little bit more about this, the role that public radio and community radio like KBOO have influenced the public dialogue by making programs like alternative radio available to listeners.
Well, community radio in particular, I make that distinction between national public radio affiliates, of which there are over 900, and of which you have a major one right there in Portland, KOPB, and community radio, KBOO, KGNU in Boulder, WMNF in Tampa, Florida, WRT in Madison, Wisconsin, BAI in New York. There's a network of community mm-hmm. radio stations that I think are living up to the ideals of the Public Broadcasting Act, which incidentally was passed almost at this time 50 years ago.
Right.
And it was a very innovative and actually the last piece of legislation, of Great Society legislation, that Lyndon Johnson was able to pass until he got completely swallowed up in the catastrophe of the wars in Indochina. And if you read that document, it's very instructive. It says radio should provide a forum for controversy and debate and provide perspectives and viewpoints for those in the community who may otherwise be unheard.
Right.
And I think community radio has been following that advice, that legislation, much more than, let's say, the public radio, the national public radio mm-hmm. affiliates, which have really gone into a kind of very safe, timid, milquetoast-ish-like content. They have a range of opinion from A to B. They have a golden Rolodex of pundits and experts, the chatterati, as I call them,
right.
Who really don't expand people's intellectual horizons. They're very, very narrow. So, you know, you get this lieutenant general debating this former National Security Council member about what do we do about Iran? You know, should we attack Iran now or wait 6 months? And then there's a debate. And this is called, you know, this is what's going on in public radio. And it's very unfortunate. Community radio, as I said, is much more diverse, much more challenging the embedded assumptions that are out there. That, for example, the U.S. has a right to intervene in the affairs of any country at any time. It can threaten any country at any time, like North Korea, where astonishingly, even by Trump standards, at the United Nations, which is the global institution, you know, which is supposed to be about peace and harmony and conflict resolution, thundering that he will totally destroy North Korea. By the way, no one, I am certain, in public radio or on any NPR or PBS station pointed out the fact that under the UN Charter, to which the United States is a signatory, that very threat is considered a war crime and is illegal.
Right. And so on Sunday when you're coming and the conversation that you want to have is resistance in the age of Trump. And so thank you so much for focusing really on what people are doing to resist. There's a lot of example on a daily basis of what Trump is doing and very few of actually what people are doing to resist. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about maybe your favorite example of resistance that has happened.
Well, there's been a, you know, literally a tsunami of, you know, demonstrations and protests, town hall meetings where our so-called representatives are being challenged in ways that, you know, they've never been challenged before. You know, I think on climate change in particular, massive demonstrations, the growth of 350.org, the growth of a whole movement toward finally ridding ourselves of fossil fuelization, as I call it, dependence on carbon for energy. That all of those things are very, very positive. Even in some of the defeats, we see signs of hope and rays of sunshine. I'm particularly thinking of Standing Rock, where the Keystone XL pipeline is now being built. But nevertheless, it brought together for the first time more than 200 indigenous nations in this country, plus their non-native allies who went in great numbers to North Dakota. And I think they've injected into the public discourse a very important notion that we are stewards of the land, all of us collectively. Right. The water, the air, the land is precious, and we must protect it. And I think that whole idea has now become quite widespread. Black Lives Matter is a very important example of African Americans and their allies coming together and protesting the outrageous behavior of state security forces in killing and wounding so many African Americans. You know, just recently, someone was a police person was released for having shot and killed someone for carrying a switchblade knife.
Right.
You know, if you don't have a taillight on, or if you have, you know, your windows not rolled down, or you don't have a seatbelt on, for an African American, this is a very critical moment, literally a life and death moment, where so many of them have already been shot and wounded. So that movement, you know, which came out of Ferguson, Missouri, spread to Baltimore, spread to communities across the country, is growing and expanding. And there's a, you know, it's injected into the public discourse. This idea, you know, this we have to say this in the year 2017, that Black Lives Matter.
Right.
It's kind of embarrassing. But yes, you know, we have to organize and fight and resist. And, you know, I always tell people, Daphne, and maybe I'll talk about this on Sunday. You know, it's so important psychologically to organize and to find kindred spirits, people that, you know, you share common ideas with, and to get together and to try and move the agenda more towards justice, more toward equality, getting away from the rampant patriarchy and white supremacy and misogyny. You know, we do have one thing to thank Trump for. People are using the term now misogyny on a regular basis, as well as white supremacy.
Right.
I remember, like, years ago, if you said misogyny, you always had to explain what it was, or the concept of white supremacy. But we're living in a very dangerous moment. The environment is under enormous attack from low-level bureaucratic appointees, largely lobbyists from the petrochemical industrial complex, that are now in charge of seeing that our air and water are being maintained at high levels. I mean, it's the, you know, the foxes are in the hen house, so it's a very dangerous moment. Also in terms of war and peace, where you have this mindless saber-rattling toward North Korea, mindless saber-rattling and bellicose talking about Iran, threatening Iran, pulling out of the Paris Accord, the environmental accord, pulling out of the Iran deal. I mean, all of these things. You know what happened just a couple of days ago to show you how isolated the United States is under this Trump regime? The only two countries in the world that did not go along with the Paris Accord were the United States and Syria. Mm. Well, Syria has now accepted and has signed, has become a signatory to the Paris Accord. So the United States is all alone once again, and Iran is another example of that. If in fact the U.S. goes through with what it's threatening to pull out of the deal and reimpose punitive sanctions on Iran, mm-hmm. the U.S. will be completely isolated from the other Security Council members, China, Russia, France, and Britain, as well as Germany, which is not a Security Council member, but signed on to the Iran deal. The U.S. will be totally, again, out in the cold, and that's what a lot of the policies that Trump has been advocating are leading to, I think, more and more isolation for the United States.
And so, you know, there's so much happening. Why do you feel it's so important for us to also document the resistance? Because, you know, there's so much happening just at the administration level. How do we keep track of all?
Documentation is important. That's why we need community radio stations like KBOO to record events, whenever there are demonstrations, actions in Oregon, in the Portland metro area. KBOO microphones are there documenting what's happening. And I can just give you a perfect example. There's a Ken Burns series now on PBS, 18 hours, 10 parts on Vietnam. And, you know, he's highly regarded Academy, Emmy Award-winning director. If you look at these episodes, it's largely an engineering of history. It's retelling the Vietnam War within a very imperial context, and that people were full of good intentions, the people who started the war, and they were decent, but they made mistakes, And so here we have an example. In my lifetime, I'm 72, so I remember the Vietnam War very well, of how history is a battleground. It is contended. And so we need to have our documentation and our information precise, because it's constantly going to be revised by people, power interests that want to protect their reputations and their class interests by reworking what happened. Our great radical historian was, Howard Zinn, we have today also Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, who's been featured on alternative radio multiple times just in the last year. Going back and uncovering you know, the truth of what's happened to indigenous people and African Americans, workers, women, all the people, you know, in the country.
Right. Well, thank you so much for this piece. This has been a pleasure, David Barsamian, to chat with you. And I can't wait to meet you in person on Sunday and listen to you more at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater.
I'm so looking forward to it. And I urge everyone to come out and support this wonderful institution you have there in Portland and in Oregon, KBOO.
Thank you so much, David. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to News from the Boo. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. Next week, Mike Crenshaw will be your host. I hope to see you on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater to hear David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump. Have a great evening.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock. Coming up next, we've got Right to Survive Radio. It's going to be an encore presentation of a previous show discussing homelessness in winter.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Outside the Frame's film screening of Leaving Home on Monday, November 13th at 6 p.m. at Portland Center Stage at the Armory in Portland. Outside the Frame will be hosting a special gala screening of new films by and with youth experiencing homelessness in Portland. The evening will also feature a Q&A with the filmmakers, and a Lifetime Achievement Award will be presented to Tia Plimpton to recognize her decades of work and mentorship with homeless youth. Again, that's Outside the Frame's film screening of Leaving Home on Monday, November 13th at 6 p.m. at Portland Center Stage at the Armory, 12